You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, thanks if you were out there Friday night for the 7-10 All-Star Celebrity Softball Game. We had a blast, and it was great seeing all you guys. And there were signs, John, all kinds of signs. Did you see the one that was in the back room? They confiscated
It's like a screen-by-screen of your mace plant.
It's like the Zapruder film of my mace plant.
That's pretty good.
It includes the shaved eyebrow in the middle of the whole thing. Yeah, people did a great job. There was a guy, the guy that I liked a lot was the one that had my face on the front of the t-shirt, Team Mace, and in the back had the letters C and M and a line through them, an anti-Chris Morales sign. That guy's a winner in my book. All right, we're going to get Beto Duran here in just a minute. Beto, if you missed it, hit two home runs in the game, including a three-run walk-off homer as we won that game 10-8 Friday night in an upset. That was like Chaminade versus Georgetown, wasn't it?
No. Once you altered the rosters, mm-hmm. I had you as the favorite.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Matter of fact, I should have swung my bet back the other way, but I was fine. I only lost $5,000.
Let's go live now to the most valuable player of Friday night 7-10 All-Star Game. Beto Duran, my favorite person in the world. How
wow,
are you, Beto?
How things have changed, Beto. Oh,
I am honored to be on the Steve Mason Show. It is fantastic. My favorite show on this station.
Well, you know, Beto, I'm going to Idaho next month. You got to be ready to come in here and work with Mace. Like, the script is flipped. He didn't want anything to do with you until you led his team to victory on Friday night.
Really not. Oh, ye of little faith. But, you know, that is Steve Mason, a man who has to be proven wrong all the time. we made up because afterwards when Amanda wanted to interview me on the field, I made sure to say, hey, it's all about Team Mace. And I brought him in for the interview. And I said, let Mason have his moment. Because without Steve Mason, we are not there.
Oh, all
right, now, Beto, I thought Mason's late changes in the lineup when he brought in Matt and he brought in Brady swung the thing your way. If Mace doesn't make those two GM moves, do you win the game?
We were going to win no matter what, there, John Ireland.
Really?
We were a team determined because once Kaplan's team didn't score 50 runs on us, oh, we had them right where we wanted them.
Yeah.
Because after that first inning, I put my drink down and I said, we're going to be out here for a while.
Yeah.
And we turned it around.
Yeah, I think Momo allowed 4 or 5 in the first inning, so we immediately fell into a
Momo
big hole.
Momo went full Yu Darvish.
Yeah, she really fell apart. Now, we actually have the great moment from the game. This is the way the game ended as described mostly by Ramona Shelburne herself. Hit it, Jorge.
Oh, come on, Beto.
Oh,
boom! Baby. Boom! Is it gonna go? It's got the height. Does it have the distance? Oh! Oh! That's a walk-off! It's a deep fly ball! It hit a glove!
Wow!
But it went over the fence, and that's a 3-run home run!
That is it!
That's a 3-run home run for Beto Duran!
Beto Duran pulls off the win, the miracle, the hero tonight!
Oh, they said we didn't have a chance, Chris. They
wow.
said Team Mason and all the invalids, all the people who could not play. You got a bunch of ringers?
I said it loudly.
Yes.
Oh, that is great.
That's actually a very good call by Ramona.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It was really cool because Ramona, the little part that got cut off was she said, do it for all the LAUSDers, LA Unified School District, because she went to El Camino, I went to Carson, so that was a little bond right there. But it was a cool day, cool atmosphere.
Let's go.
Yeah.
All that was just cool. And, you know, once I realized that I was not going to get traded from Steve Mason's team, I said, you know, I'm all in. Let's go. And honestly, Mace, I don't know about you, but even if we would have lost, we won because we had the best dugout. We were partying, man.
We had the best. We did nothing but party in the dugout. We had party favors. We had an open bar. It was crazy in our dugout.
Right,
we
so
were in
Beto,
it for the fun.
Here's a question that Mason, Clinton, and Travis refused to answer. because they didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I think he'll answer it.
John's all about hurting people's feelings.
You were the best player. Who was the worst player in the game?
all right. So I'm not going to say any names, but I did go up to Travis and I said after the first inning, hey, man, your show's killing us right now. So somebody on his show.
Somebody Slee? On his show? No, you went Taylor, didn't you?
I just said somebody on your show is killing us.
You went Taylor. You went Taylor. Not Funch.
Honestly, I don't know people's names, so I don't know who it was. But I was like, dude, where the people? Because I knew, see, Mason's show, I know Sedano people. But I was like, dude, your show. Because Funch was better than I expected for a guy who's never played before.
He was 0-for-2 with two errors.
Yeah, no. But
and that was better than you expected.
Exactly. But here's the thing. Funch was also by my cooler, and I had a bottle of tequila.
There you
and
go.
Funch and DeMarco were having a good time. Like, look, John, I even had my cup with me at shortstop between innings.
Yes,
I love that.
Next to me. So, like, and I looked over at Funch. So, I was, you know what? I'm going to blame Travis's team. Travis's show. Everybody there.
Okay, so, Beto, we're having a debate over something else. Mace is very proud that he drew a late walk.
I'm not very proud. I just drew a late walk.
Right there. Do not make fun of my manager, Steve Mason, Gary, John.
No, I'm making fun of anybody who would take a walk in a softball game. No. Would you ever take a walk, Beto?
No, here's why. Because Kaplan was sucking. He couldn't throw a strike. He could not find
but
a play.
Beto,
it was like nowhere close.
Beto, answer this.
Not at all.
Answer this question honestly, yes or no. Would you ever take a walk in a softball game?
If I have a chance to beat Kaplan, heck yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had a bottle of tequila on the line with Sedano, so I'm getting me a bottle. So, heck yeah, we're winning. We're competitive here.
And by the way, I wasn't looking for a walk.
No, he wasn't. And I'm going to defend you, Mace. I can't believe I'm saying these words. But, yeah, I'm going to defend you, Mace, because remember, Mace, after Kaplan threw a couple pitches to me, I even did the voodoo hands at him.
Yes.
Because he was trying to walk around us. He was trying to pitch bad. He wasn't throwing strikes. So the pitch
that strikes in a softball game?
Scott Kaplan.
Exactly. He was nibbling. He was nibbling. He felt the pressure. He was under the pressure. Oh, he was looking so bad.
Yeah, he was real. He crumbled under the pressure. And he just laid in a meatball for Beto, and he took it yard.
No, to defend Kaplan, it wasn't a meatball because he threw it way behind me. I just took a big hack. You know, many years of piñata training right there. That's what I did.
So Beto, overall, I thought it was just an unbelievable experience. You made it really cool. The tequila did flow. We had a great post-game interview where we both got drenched in beer.
That was cool.
It was really, really a fun night
around. I come on this station and I pop off a lot. You know, I'm out there just chirping away. And it's all in jest. It's all the fun. But I will say, in all sincerity, great job by Tommy Lamb and everybody on the promotions team, everybody involved. The listeners that came out, I looked up after the first inning and the outfield was packed.
Yep.
The sidelines were packed. And I was tailgating at 4 o'clock with listeners, and it was really cool. It felt fun. It was just, John, you wish you would have been there. I wish my buddy DJ Everett was there. If we would have had a DJ in the outfield during the game, that would have been cool right there.
That'd be great.
Everything was great. And for the first time ever, I've never heard nobody complained. Like, you never get that. There's always somebody complaining. It was none of that.
Yeah, it was great, Beto, and you made it really cool. And you
good job winning the game, man.
You will now officially fill in for John Ireland coming up, okay?
And you know what? They're going to do a 30-for-30 on this on how people's lives changed, because if Kurt Sandoval makes that catch,
Beto, here's another.
It's a different world.
Here's another argument you could settle. Clinton Yates was trying to argue that if Sandoval jumped, caught the ball, and landed on the other side of the fence, that would still be a home run for you. I think if his feet it's an out.
Yeah, I would say it's an out. I don't know what Clinton was talking about. If Kurt Sandoval makes that catch, honestly, even if he goes past the fence, I think he gets credit for it. Because he tracked that ball perfectly and was in exactly the right spot when it landed. He was close, but John, I would have given it to him no matter what if they caught that ball.
Exactly. And also Matt, is that his name? The new guy?
Yeah, Matt Burke.
When Kirk Morrison came up, he's like, hey, should I go play on the other side of the fence? I was like, nah, man, make him earn it. And also, there was discussion in our dugout. Should we walk Kirk Morrison? Yep. And I yelled, No, make him earn it. And he popped up the next at bat.
Well, you know what I did as a manager?
I probably would have walked him after he hit the second home.
Nah, when Morrison was at the plate, I asked Ron, I said, do you want to pitch to him or do you want to put him on? And Ron said, let me try to get him out. And he did. He got them all. He went warning track, but Ron was able to do it. Ron actually had a really good game.
Yeah, he did. And you know why, Mace? You know why nobody can say anything bad about us? Because we went after these people. We went after Goliath. We took him down.
Yes, we did. Hey, Beto, thank you very much. Congratulations, see you in a couple weeks here,
Beto. Man. I love the Steve Mason Show.
All right. Thank you, Beto. I've got to love Beto Duran. He and I forget Mason. Even what we were beefing about.
Boy, you and Beto are getting along. Me and Morales are getting along. What the hell is happening around here?
I know. You know what? I think it's like just now a great – I was talking to Sam, who is the GM or the market man, whatever. What do we call Sam?
Market manager.
Sam, boss kind of guy. And he said, you know, they have a bunch of radio stations. He said, nobody's ever done anything on par with this. Like, these were –
the Mandy's and the softball game.
Big event. And the thing that is really clear is that we've got a really good group of people, like top to bottom, you know, people like Emily and Taylor and Jorge and Laura and everybody, you know, that everybody is contributing.
Laura, it was Laura's birthday on Friday.
Yeah,
she has the same birthday as me.
I was not invited to her birthday party. Jorge,
after party
were you?
It was after party.
I heard it was her birthday party and I wasn't invited.
No, everybody was invited.
Why was I not invited?
Don't play her card now.
It's not her card, honestly.
She played that card on Friday.
Honestly, no one ever mentioned an after party. Everybody slowly disappeared. I never knew there. Now, I wouldn't have gone. I'll make that clear.
Oh, well, then there you go.
I wouldn't have gone. I was so friggin' gassed.
Then you actually weren't invited.
Then I wasn't invited. Exactly. All right. Coming up next for you, John, this radio call of Rory McIlroy's pullout.
Yeah, let's compare it to Ramona's call.
Oh, good.
And we'll determine which one was better.
Okay, we will do that coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, Big Monday, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I love the Home Run Derby. I think it's really fun. And I love that Pete Alonso loves to win it. So, like, it's not like the slam dunk contest in the NBA where it's hard to get somebody good to do it. Pete Alonso's like, I own this. This is my event.
Right. And it's weird in that, like, Mike Trout, I guess he has back spasms. Yeah, he's never done it.
Yeah, he's got a back injury right now. He's not doing it.
He's never done it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, weird.
He's not a traditional power hitter. Like, what's the most home runs Trout has ever hit in a year?
I think 30. He's hit 40.
You think he's hit
40?
Yeah,
he's had a 40 home run year.
He definitely, yeah. The guys that are in it are actually all appropriate. I think it's cool that Albert Pujols is in it. He obviously isn't going to win.
Yeah, it's his fourth time. He's never won it.
Alonso is the favorite. He's plus 190. Kyle Schwarber, who I think is going to win, is plus 330. Give me $1,000 on Kyle Schwarber.
By the way, Trout hit 45 in 2019.
45, okay. There you go. So there was definitely a time where he was appropriate. Who do you like in the Home Run Derby? Alonso, Schwarber, Soto, Julio Rodriguez, the rookie, Ronald Acuna Jr., Corey Seager, Jose Ramirez, Albert Pujols.
I think Schwarber's going to win, but since you're taking Schwarber,
you can get better odds on, like, Soto.
Yeah, give me Seager.
Seager at a... He is +1,000. So that means you bet $1,000.
You make $10,000.
You make $10,000.
Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah, God. I'll take Seager.
That's a great bet. Jorge, do you want to make a bet? No. Bergman, you want to make a bet?
I'll put it on Soto.
Soto, okay.
Future Dodger Juan Soto.
Future Dodger Juan Soto.
Very
like
well
that.
Could be.
I like that. All right, so John, you found this play-by-play goal. Do you want to set this up? This is Rory McIlroy.
I think that I should start. Now, keep in mind, this was on Saturday on the 10th hole.
And what channel is this?
This was NBC.
NBC, okay.
But this call that you're going to play, we all watch it on NBC. This call you're going to play is on BBC Radio, so the British radio channel. So I think I should start calling middle-of-the-game slam dunks with this level of enthusiasm.
Okay.
Check it out.
Just about ready to go. Takes a swing, swishes it out. It comes out high. It looks like it needs a soft bounce. Oh, it's an awesome shot from Rory. Will it do it? Oh! Rory McIlroy! Can you believe the scenes? People are jumping up and down. It's an unbelievable bunker shot. Rory fist bumps to the crowd. Oh, I cannot believe what we've just seen, Matty. What a shot! Rory McIlroy just leapfrogs everybody. -5 for the day, -15 for the tournament. We've got a new leader at the Open Championship, ladies and gents.
All right, so
now I love that.
Now compare that to this.
All of the LAUSD years. Let's go. Beautiful. Come on, Beto. Oh, boom! Baby. Boom! Is it gonna go? It's got the height. Does it have the distance? Oh! Oh! That's a walk-off! It's a deep fly ball! It hit a glove.
Wow.
But it went over the fence, and that's a three-run home run.
That is it.
That's a three-run home run for Beto Duran.
Beto Duran pulls off the win, the miracle, the hero tonight.
Oh, they said we didn't have a chance, Chris. They said Team Mason had all the invalids, all the people who could not play. We got a bunch of ringers.
I said it loudly.
There you go.
I think the golf call was good and Ramona's was better.
Yeah, Ramona's was just like in the moment.
Right.
Like, do you ever get carried away when you're doing
a
game? Yeah, you get carried
away. Why not? Yeah. But golf on the radio, though, would be hard to do.
You know, a lot of my friends have done golf on the radio. We did at the Olympics in 2016, golf is an event, and Kevin Kugler and those guys all did a great call of the
By the way, there is
tournament.
A rumor, at this point it's just a rumor, that Cameron Smith from Australia, who won the British Open yesterday, is going to be one of several big names that jump to the LIV Tour. Could break as early as today, maybe tomorrow.
Okay. You know, John, I watched a movie that I hadn't seen in a really long time, and Juan had never seen. And it holds up pretty good, but there's a problem.
What's the movie?
The movie is Heat.
Okay.
Okay? I watched it again yesterday. De Niro, fantastic in that movie.
Great cast.
Val Kilmer, great in that movie. I mean, the cast is great, except for Pacino, who sails over the top again.
Well, remember,
at what point did Pacino turn into that? Because this was 1995, so he was already hoo-haing it.
Yeah, Sin of a Woman was him
jumping the shark,
going out of his out of his shoes,
and they gave him an award for it. And so he thought, I'll just do more of this. Yeah. Hoo-ah!
And every movie since then, like if you look at Devil's Advocate, if you look at Any Given Sunday,
yes.
You know,
way over the top.
Yeah, he's got at least one thing in there.
Pacino playing Pacino. Yeah, that was the
because if you watch The Godfather, he really never does go over the top.
He's super subtle in The Godfather. He's super subtle and just slowly over the course of his career became that. But Heat, still a great movie. Juan had never seen it, loved it. So here's what, because Juan is from a television generation. We watched 4 40-minute episodes of Heat.
Oh. So instead of watching the movie in its entirety, I do that all the time. You're more. I have to sit and watch the sanctity of the movie. I have to watch it on a big screen, uninterrupted.
Absolutely,
I'm with Juan.
We did that with The Godfather with all three. We put the three Godfather movies together and we watched them in 40-minute episodes or so. It worked out. What was the other one? Irishman. That one required.
Yeah, that was like 3.5 hours.
That required three episodes. All right, John. The Dodgers now have three starting pitchers in the All-Star game. Kershaw, Gonsolin, and Tyler Anderson. And if you don't know, Kershaw is starting the All-Star game, which is no big surprise. That was what we expected all along. And coming into the year, I said the big problem with the Dodgers was starting pitching depth. I didn't know Tyler Anderson was going to do this. I didn't know Tony Gonsolin was going to do this. I expected Kershaw to be Kershaw. Buehler and Urias. Urias has been totally fine. And Buehler has been injured. But if you think about it, Kershaw, Gonsolin, Anderson, and then Greg Bergman points out the two guys that they have in addition in the rotation, Buehler and Urias finished 4th and 7th in Cy Young voting last year, which is pretty amazing. I mean, given the fact that they were lacking depth coming into the season and finding, if you want to look at an example of what Andrew Friedman does better than anybody, look at Tyler Anderson. Nobody was clamoring for Tyler Anderson during this offseason.
Right.
But he saw something in the spin rate or whatever it was, and now he's a 10-game
winner.
And
normally once a year, Friedman gets a guy like that.
Yeah.
You know, who was the guy that the relief pitcher that pitched in like every World Series game when
Brandon
we played
Morrow?
Yeah. Like that guy was just out there.
Yeah, that guy was a machine. And he was coming off injury. He signed him when he was injured and he wound up being a key part of the bullpen. Yeah. So Friedman, that's what Friedman does better than anybody is identify talent like that. And I still think with the Juan Soto, this is the other piece of news today. If you missed it over the course of the weekend, Juan Soto has rejected a $440 million deal to stay with the Washington Nationals. He still has 2 years of team control, which makes him really, really valuable on the trade market. It's possible that they trade Juan Soto. And the Dodgers, I think, would be in play if the Nationals trade Juan Soto.
I think it'll be Dodgers. I think Washington would rather trade him to the Dodgers than to the Mets.
Correct.
Because they, you know, they've got to play the Mets 18 times
yeah.
every year.
And the Dodgers have a deeper farm system than the Mets. I mean, the Dodgers, Jeff Passan, we like looked at what Jeff Passan had in mind for a trade. Gavin Lux, Dustin May, who's coming back after the All-Star break. And then prospects number 1, 2, 5, and 18. That includes catcher
Diego Cartagena.
I would do it in a second. For as long as you know you can sign Juan Soto, there's no reason to not do a deal like that. Now, Passan says that's way too much. The Dodgers wouldn't do that.
Yeah, that's like last week when we made up fake trades for Ohtani, and everybody like came in on both sides and said neither team would do it.
Well, there's a layer of Dodger fans. Bergman, you know this because you used to host the Dodger Hoedown on your phone.
Hoedown.
Hey, aren't you the guy who does the Lakers dance party Hoedown on your phone?
That is exactly what he does, and he did it for the Dodgers too. So there is a level of Dodger fans that's below the surface that I think will say, no, you can't give up Cartagena. You can't give up Bobby Miller. Don't you think that exists out there?
Well, there's 100%. Always there's fans of every team, Greg, yeah. that are basically Bill Stoneman. Can't trade our guys.
Well,
we raise these guys.
Fairness,
can't trade our guys.
If you look around,
Friedman's not that guy.
But if you look around the diamond, it's kind of our guys. I mean, it's a lot. If you think about it, We've got Will Smith.
I'd
Freddie
say
Freeman's
every,
from outside. Every, Gavin Lux is from our organization.
Right.
Trey
Turner
from
outside. Justin Turner from outside. Mookie Betts from outside.
Cody Bellinger from inside.
Trace Thompson came up a White Sox farm. Well, who's playing? Well, Chris Taylor, if he was healthy, would be
Chris
out
Taylor,
there.
If he was healthy.
Came from the outside.
Technically came
so
from the
So maybe
outside,
three
yeah.
out of nine.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like a lot of those guys also, like Justin Turner. Justin Turner, while he came from outside, you still came in on a minor league contract.
Yes, he came in as a banjo infielder from the Mets.
Right, and they just built up. Like, Max Muncy was in the minor leagues with us.
Right.
Just because we got him somewhere else, he came to the minors and then got moved up.
Right, right.
So they're still our guys, in my mind.
Yeah, and he does a good job of not trading the right guys. If that makes right. sense, right? Not trading the right guys. Now, I would argue that, you know, Alex Verdugo, who we got in the Betts deal, has been good. Kiebert Ruiz and Josiah Gray, both.
Yordan Alvarez is the worst one that he's lost.
Yordan Alvarez, yeah.
He's with Houston for Josh Fields, which was not a good
deal. So sometimes you get him wrong.
But for the most part, he gets them absolutely right. And so moving all these guys, these top four, how many of those four do you think actually hit?
Let's see.
Diego Cartagena, Bobby Miller.
Miguel Vargas, Gavin Stone.
Two hit and two don't, right?
Correct.
Juan Soto's 23. He is a prospect.
I completely agree with you. I don't think there is I don't think this is a ridiculous trade offer if the Dodgers were to go this way. Lux has been really good. May is going to be great. And you've got four prospects in the deal. I would do this in a second.
Absolutely.
I wanted to circle back to something you said because I think we have such a fundamental disagreement about the Mike Trout thing. You and a lot of people knock Mike Trout because he accepted a $420 million contract.
I think that what Juan Soto did this weekend was harder to do than what Mike Trout did.
Sure, yeah. But you view Mike Trout negatively for accepting that deal.
If I were Mike Trout, I would ask to be traded. I don't think he ever will.
I don't think he will.
Yeah, I just think winning is, if it happens, it happens. If not, I'm getting a ridiculous amount of money, so I'll take it. So I think that...
Really think that's Mike Trout's attitude?
Well, why wouldn't I think that?
Because Mike Trout plays hard every single day and is unbelievably durable and is part of an organization that he's been with for his entire career coming up through the minor leagues, having an opportunity to get a team into contention. This team, there's no reason why this team can't contend next year.
But they never do.
But there's no reason they can't contend next year, and that's the way you have to approach it.
Well, that's the way they approach it every year.
Right.
I mean, he's been in the majors. This is now his 11th year, right?
But you've got a GM in his second year. I don't think there's anything soft about Mike Trout for accepting a $420 million contract.
I don't know if I would ever
contract.
Call him soft. I just don't think he...
I don't think he's a winner.
I don't think he cares about winning as much as other people do. I think that if he really did care about winning, he could hold their feet to the fire, and he's never done that. If he... Like Otani's doing. Otani said, look, I want to win.
Yeah, by the way, Otani made one quote 2 years ago.
Right.
That's all we know of Otani.
Yeah.
He said, I value winning.
And
he may sign a big,
yeah,
big,
they may
fat
make
deal
him
the
proverbial
Angels.
Offer he can't refuse.
And if I was the Angels, I would do it in a second, because I'll tell you what counts for something too, John. This, I'm going to steal something from you.
Okay.
Star-driven town.
Yeah.
It is a star-driven town.
Yeah.
Otani, why would you trade the biggest star in the game? I don't think they're going to. And if I was an Angels season ticket holder, I'd be pissed off if they did.
But if you offer him the bag, as you called it
the
earlier,
bag,
and he turns it down,
yep.
Don't you have to trade
him?
Yeah,
then you move him. Then you're in the Juan Soto position.
Yeah, then
he turns down the bag. But as of right now, I don't think anybody has offered a bag.
Yeah, but I think that's the next step of that.
Right.
Is that you offer him that, and then if he doesn't take it, you have to trade.
Yeah, Juan Soto could be.
The one unacceptable thing that I think you and I both agree on is you can't let these players we're talking about walk for nothing.
Absolutely.
That's the
nuclear You got to get something for him no matter what.
Yeah.
No matter what, you got to get something for him. I'm curious about that, though, the Trout thing. John's take on Mike Trout is interesting. And he's not alone. A lot of people have this view that somehow Mike Trout, because he accepted that I think it's 420. Hey, it's my number. 420. $420 million contract, that somehow he doesn't care about winning.
I think that's super strong. Well,
and I think I'm quoting you direct.
Well, I think that what I would say is he doesn't care about winning as much as other players do.
Okay. I actually want to throw that out there. 877-710-ESPN.
By the way, Bergman, who's right in this argument between the two of us?
I think you're right.
You're anti-Trout.
Well, no, it's not. I'm anti-Trout. He's one of the best players in the entire game,
right,
maybe ever. But he's there because he's making money. He doesn't care about winning. Otherwise, he would have asked out, or he wouldn't have accepted that contract. They're not good, and they're not going
to
be good
for
a while.
You're prepared to say Mike Trout does not care about winning.
I think he does care about winning. Obviously, everybody does.
But you realize you just contradicted exactly what you said.
I think
he doesn't care about winning.
Sure,
I'm sure in his mind he cares.
He wants to win. Of course, everybody wants to win. But if he's accepting this contract and accepting being in Anaheim for the rest of his career, then he doesn't fully care about winning.
Here's an element of this. In the NBA,
mm-hmm,
if you... Like, Kevin Durant has asked for a trade because he doesn't think he can win.
Oh, they all ask for trades.
Right, but do they do that in baseball?
Not really.
Yeah.
I think the closest we get to that
is
Bryce Harper a little bit. He went out on a high with Washington.
And then they won the World Series as soon as he left.
Happens all the time, by the way. Happened up in... They didn't win a World Series.
Soto's in this category. But you don't see players demanding a trade as often in Major League Baseball. In the NBA... Players demand trades all the time.
And then in the NFL, it's harder to move. It's harder to trade.
Much harder to move. And sometimes
Russell Wilson kind of just did it.
Yeah.
Davante Adams just kind of did it.
Yeah, Davante Adams did it. And sometimes it doesn't get done, like Aaron Rodgers. They said, I want traded. They didn't trade him. I mean, what do you think of this era of player movement, and specifically Mike Trout, and does he care about winning? This is what the discussion was. 877-710-ESPN. Get some calls in on that. Plus, John, I wanted to get to this Indiana high school kid who should be everybody's hype man. Everybody's hype man.
Okay.
I got that coming up for you, too. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, what's going on, people? It's Monday. Thanks a lot if you were out at our 7-10 All-Star Softball game Friday night. It was a big success. We had a blast. It was Team Mace 10, Team Cappy 8. A three-run walk-off home run for Beto Duran for the win. There was no Mace plant.
In fact, yes. There was you survived unscathed.
Although, I tell you what, we got to Keyshawn's on Saturday, and it was like, oh, my God, I've not used these muscles in a while.
Yeah,
I am
well,
that's
not when you try anything new. All right, so we're talking about Mike Trout. I've said that Mike Trout, taking all that money, Juan Soto over the weekend, basically turned down the Trout contract. I think indicates that Mike Trout cares more about making money than he does about winning. Mace says that's unfair. Here's Sam in Orange County. Hey, Sam. You're on 710 ESPN. What do you think?
Hey, gents. Thanks for taking the call. You know, listen, I just don't think he holds it in as high of regards in regards to making $425-plus million. I'm sure the Jet wants to win. He's a competitor. He's done so well.
He's kind of lost
I think
there.
He just went away. There you are, Sam.
Sorry, can you guys hear me?
Yep, gotcha.
Got you now.
Sorry about that. So I think he does want to win. I just don't think he wants to win as badly as making $425 million.
Yeah.
When it comes down to it, you talk about other players in other sports requesting trades. You look at NBA players, a guy like Kevin Durant. That guy can make an immediate impact and turn the game around individually with four other players. A guy like Trout's got to depend on eight other players, and there's so many other variables that I think when it comes down to it, he's ultimately going to take that money, but doesn't mean he doesn't want to win.
All right, okay, thanks.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for it. I guess. I mean, I'll say the word, although it means nothing, certainly in the NBA. There's something to be said for loyalty.
But there is no loyalty in professional sports.
There obviously is in Major League Baseball. Mike Trout is staying committed to the Angels. Yeah, you guys all want him to leave because you think he doesn't want to win.
The Angels could trade him tomorrow.
But is he not being loyal to the Angels?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, like Adam, well, you were
loyal
gone.
To Angel fans, loyal to the Angels organization.
I'm trying to remember if you were here or not. Were you here the day we were talking about Adam Silver and he said Adam Silver
yes,
said
yes, he doesn't like the fact that players are moving the way they're moving.
Yeah, but teams trade players all the time.
Right, right. But yeah. There is something to be said for loyalty. The Angels wouldn't trade Mike Trout, and Mike Trout doesn't want to demand a trade from the Angels.
Chris in Santa Clarita. Hey, Chris. You're on ESPN LA. Hi.
How you guys doing? Love the show. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thanks, Chris.
Wanted to give the comparison of Mike Trout to a little bit of James Harden, to be quite honest with you. Other than the fact that he just decided to take a little less money in Philly to build up a roster. But I think if Trout was loyal enough, he would take a little bit less money and make them better team, not Angels in the outfield in real life.
But there's no – what makes that a little different, thanks to the call, is there's no salary cap in baseball.
Right, there's no salary cap.
There's no indication that if Mike Trout took less, it would mean they would give more to another player, right?
Correct. Are you allowed to restructure base? Oh, you sure. Yeah, the Bobby Bonilla deal. You are allowed to restructure contracts in Major League Baseball. They did that with Bonilla.
You can defer them. I don't know if you can restructure. Like, Bobby Bonilla wasn't allowed to take less money. He was able to take it later.
Ah, okay.
You
know,
but
okay.
You could. You could defer him.
Yeah.
Here is James in Upland. Hey, James, you're on ESPN LA. Hi.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, man.
Hey, you guys just touched on it a second ago. I think it's a loyalty issue. The guy's a competitor. I'm a season ticket holder, and he competes day in and day out. But I think he signed that contract, and he's going to be loyal to the Angels.
Right, but do you think more or less of Juan Soto for turning down that money?
I don't know. I really haven't heard the details of that whole situation.
They basically offered him the Trout contract.
Yeah, they offered him $440 million. Trout, I think, signed for $420.
Well, he obviously wants a better chance to win. So
yeah,
that's,
yeah. There you
that's
go.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks.
Thanks, man. Yeah, and you don't know. I mean, maybe he hates being in Washington. Sounds like it.
Right. And sometimes you just get an offer you can't refuse. Like, that's what's going on the golf tour. Like, I don't begrudge any of those guys taking the live money because it's so much money. Maybe Trout looked at it and said, you know what, I can't turn this down. It's just too much money.
Right.
And you can't blame somebody for that.
No. All right, coming up next for you, you're going to do, don't give me 5 minutes. I want more.
You got 5 minutes.
More Bobcat. All right, fine. Take another
call. You have more phone calls?
Yeah, take another call.
Here's Chuck and Artesia. Hey, Chuck. You're on ESPN
hey,
LA.
Hey, Chuck. Chuck.
Hey, guys. I was out there on Friday, and man, everybody was so cool.
I think, Chuck, is there a possibility you're still partying?
No.
Yeah, it sounds like might be.
I'm barely getting my voice back.
All right, well, thanks for coming out, man.
Yeah, I was the one with the sombrero and the mask.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I know exactly who you were. I took my picture with you. Yeah, I know exactly who you are.
Everybody did. It was a great time. You guys got to do it more often.
Awesome,
right,
Chuck.
Thanks, Chuck.
Thanks for the phone call, man. Yeah, it was really fun on Friday.
Here's Elliot in Torrance. Hey, Elliot, you're on ESPN LA. Hi.
Hey, guys. First of all, I'm so thrilled you guys are taking calls again. I actually have 2 points, if you'll let me make them real quick.
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
First of all, I call this the Kobe Magic Johnson syndrome. There's certain players that want to leave a legacy. There's other players that just really, not to be like money hogs, but they're just content making their money and just going about their business. And I really think that has to do with a lot of these players. And Soto, as far as Soto goes, to offer somebody $500 million is that they're out of their minds. Now, the second thing, real quick.
Yep.
Kyrie Irving, with the pandemic going on right now, and it's starting to, simmer again.
Yep.
What happens if we get Kyrie and he refuses to take the vaccine and he's not allowed to play again? This drama is ridiculous. I like the young kids. I like what we're doing. Let's just stay the course and get rid of that $47 million. I know there's two subjects I talked, but thanks for letting me down.
All right, man. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's a fair point, which is that probably in 11 days, reportedly, LA is going to move back into an indoor mask mandate. And so how does that impact Kyrie's decision to not get the vaccine?
It's a fair question. And the other thing that he kind of touched on there is if you just ride it out with Russ, he comes off the books at the end of the year.
Right.
What makes it complicated is that LeBron's eligible for an extension in August.
Yes.
If LeBron turns that down, which he might.
All hell is going to break loose if he turns that down.
Well, that may be the reason you got to try everything you can to make a deal.
Wait a minute. At that point, so LeBron will have how many years left on his deal?
One.
You got to trade him. You can't let him walk away for nothing. This is what we were just talking about. If LeBron passes on an extension, you've got to look to trade LeBron.
Right. But that'd be hard because he's makes a ton of money.
You're right. Well, we're talking about trading Westbrook.
Right. But LeBron doesn't have any years ahead of him. He's like, LeBron, if LeBron retired at 38, we would all say,
right,
totally understandable.
Instantly, your team is a contender with LeBron. Instantly,
right?
And if he's going to, if he's only going to spend one more year here, you can't let LeBron James, who is arguably the number one or number two greatest player in the history of the game, to walk away for nothing.
Well, except he's at the end of his career. That's the problem,
right? But if you
you think he has trade value?
Absolutely.
What do you think you can get for him?
I think I can get a two rotation players and draft picks.
See, I don't know.
Would you let him walk away for nothing? That's the issue. Would you let the greatest player, but arguably, maybe in the history of the game?
There's an important prepositional phrase in there. At the end of his career. So another team that trades for him, how many years can he play for him?
Well, LeBron showed no signs of slowing down. You've said it yourself. I mean, we're counting on the guy for another two. I mean, if he picks up the extension, another 3 years. So he's got at least that in him. I just think the don't let anybody walk away without getting something for them rule has to apply to LeBron as well if he opts to not sign his extension.
Yeah, that'll become very interesting because I don't know what a player at the end of his career would be worth on an open market.
But you put him somewhere and they're an instant contender. Instant contender.
Depends where. It's I mean, because we had him last year, we didn't even make the playoffs.
Correct, but he's still LeBron James.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question. I wonder, I think that LeBron probably extends.
I would think so. I mean, everybody seems comfortable in the idea that he's going to extend.
He seems like a guy who wants to end his career here, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. That'll be interesting.
All right. Coming up next for you is Bobcat. Bergman's going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks, Chris and Amanda. All right, so Cameron Smith won the British Open at 20 under par, tying him for the lowest score in a major ever. St. Andrews isn't typically a difficult course, but in every 72-hole open at the course, there have been 29 players combined to shoot 10 under or less in its history. Yesterday, 20 players finished with double digits under par. What happened here, Ireland?
I think, St. Andrews, the players are getting so much better. And St. Andrews is kind of wide open. It's very historic, but it's like it's basically like playing on concrete. You hit the ball, it just keeps rolling and rolling and rolling. And these players are so good that now they just tear it up. But St. Andrews, I mean, it's the weather also cooperated. It was nice. They were in shirt sleeves. I just think the players are getting a lot better, and that course has been the same for 150 years. So it just kind of was the perfect storm.
Well, you know, this is kind of my wheelhouse, this particular kind of question about golf.
And I did say Ireland, to be fair.
Ireland, by the way, said the players got better, which is an interesting, and the course is still old. That makes sense to me. I completely understand John's answer, and I would like to
double down.
I'm doubling down. Ditto for me.
But don't they usually build up courses, make them
harder?
Well,
the U.S. Open they try to make really hard. Right. Isn't that the way it goes, Ireland? They try to make the U.S. Open super hard.
And the British Open is normally hard because the weather's bad.
Yeah.
But the weather was perfect and the course is wide open. And matter of fact, the greens there are huge. 7 or 8 of the greens are double greens.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so you'd see two pins in them.
Oh, wow.
And you can just putt everything. And, okay. And these guys just tore it up.
Okay, cool.
Bobcat.
Fair enough.
Hey, Jan.
Hi, Mom. So, speaking of the British Open, the Manning brothers spent the weekend in an apartment overlooking the old course on the 18th hole, which is pretty amazing. If you could overlook any event from an apartment like they did, what would you watch? And we can say that it can be something indoor to bend reality a little bit. That's totally fine. It can be whatever you want, though.
To sit.
So you're like, you sit over a certain, like it's over the end zone, like so you can see right over the end zone of the Super Bowl, or you're at a World Series game, but you're in like the apartment like above Wrigley Field or something like that.
Okay.
Anywhere you want. Doesn't matter. Any sport.
Okay, I will do one. I would like to be in an apartment overlooking the Olympics opening ceremony.
I think that would be
unbelievably cool. It's going to happen at SoFi Stadium in 2028. If I can get great seats to the opening ceremony, I will be there. If there was an apartment overlooking it, I would try it.
It could be any. I could
anything. You can be inside if you want. It doesn't matter.
And I could like I
bending
I would,
reality.
Okay. I've never been to the Kentucky Derby, and I've never been to the Indy 500.
Oh,
so
would
I would
be
do
cool.
one of those
would
two.
Be very cool.
Yeah,
those
I would do
would
one of cool. those two. Jorge, how about you?
Oh, a World Cup, any World Cup game.
Oh yeah, that'd
any
make
World
sense
Cup for me. Yeah, that's what I would say.
I would go for like an F1 race to be at F1.
Now, are you
race.
Watching Drive to Survive? Is it Drive to Survive?
Drive to Survive on Netflix. Yeah, I've watched a little bit of it. I haven't finished much of it, but it's really good, and F1 is actually really exciting.
I've watched a bunch, and Max Verstappen. Verstappen is the guy that I like. He's racing well right now.
Yeah, he's the best racer in the game right now.
Bobcat.
All right, Jorge, what you got?
Okay, so Nick Young is yet another athlete who's joining one of those celebrity boxing matches against a rapper, Blueface. And he recently told TMZ Sports that he was going to knock him out in 15 seconds. Now, he has no experience. John, you're laughing.
Yeah, I know.
How ridiculous are these matches, honestly?
They're stupid.
But I watch them.
I've lost all interest. You know, I don't care. Frank Gore knocks out Nate Robinson. What does that even mean to me? What is the point of any of this at this point?
I'm like Michael Thompson. Nick, it's boxing. I just want to see.
Just grab two guys, throw them in a ring, and see what happens. Where's the big Kirk Cameron fight?
Kirk Cameron.
I don't know why that name came to mind.
I don't think he's ever been in celebrity boxing.
But he's the level of star that you would expect to see in celebrity boxing.
He's like a pastor.
So if you were invited to one of these celebrities, who would you get in a ring with?
Well, I'll tell you what. Who went down like a bag of rocks? Was it Nate Robinson?
Yeah.
Went down like, yeah, I'd fight Nate Robinson. He looks soft.
John, how about you?
Only because he gave Mason a really hard time at the Long Beach Grand Prix. Ugh. Alfonso Ribeiro.
Oh, okay.
Who now, by the way, is hosting Dancing with the Stars on top of stupid videos.
They got rid of Tyra?
Yeah, no, it's going to be Tyra and the Jerk. That's the way they should pronounce it. Tyra and the Jerk.
Greg, who would you get in the ring with?
I would get in the ring with John Ireland.
Interesting. That's an interesting matchup.
Pick a guy 20 years older than you. That makes right. a lot of sense.
No, I don't know.
I wish you would have struck out now. Were you the only guy to go to two strikes?
No. I don't know. Funch,
maybe.
Did you go to two strikes?
Oh, why you get like a punch like that, man?
I hit mine first pitch. Yeah. I was first pitch swing.
Well, when you actually swung.
Well, yeah, when I swung. When it...
Dang, Greg, thank you, shot.
Yeah,
right now.
You know what?
Well, you know what? I got booed a bunch at it, so I'm just going to go full heel at this point.
By the way, that was interesting. Bergman got booed a lot.
A lot, like a ton. I was the biggest boo for sure.
Yeah, he was the biggest boo because of all the stuff where he went on the afternoon show and trashed us.
I was hated.
Did you go in the dunk tank?
Yes, I was in the dunk tank for an hour.
He did an hour in the dunk tank.
Who was the most effective in dunking you?
Riley Bergman.
Yeah.
Oh, she got a kick out of it.
She got me. Okay. Actually, no. You know who's the best at it? Justin Schafflander was the best at it.
Oh, our sales guy.
Yeah. He was throwing darts.
Throwing heaters?
From far beyond what anybody else was throwing. I was impressed.
Mason took 8 shots and missed them all.
Yeah, man. They were totally credible shots. I mean, a number of times I actually hit the bar.
Yes, hit the bottom of the bar.
You just got to throw them harder.
That's the one thing I learned from this event is I can still throw the ball. I may not be able to hit. I may not be able to field, but I still have an arm after all these years.
Bobcat.
All right, so there's a new study out from the University of Washington in Seattle saying that if you're under the age of 40, drinking alcohol is not beneficial to your health in any way. But if you are 40 or older, it is beneficial to your health to have just a little bit of alcohol. I just want to know what happens to you at 40 that changes your ability to drink alcohol.
Well, don't they have that thing where if you drink wine, it's good for your heart? Isn't that still a thing?
Yeah, well, they used to say that.
A glass of red wine a day or something. I don't know. I think alcohol is trouble. I have had some experience with it
recently,
and I find it to be very, very troublesome. For me, at least.
He did not drink at Keys Party, just to be clear.
I don't drink anymore. Well, honestly, that event at Clearman's Galley was the end of my drinking career. I will never drink, never touch alcohol again. Not because I'm addicted or anything like that. Just because I figure I got weed, I don't need booze, too.
Well, if you're at your own party and you're not going anywhere, you could and should drink. But under 40 is where all the fun drinking happens. I don't know about this thing, this survey of yours. Wait, where'd it come from?
It came from the University of Seattle in Washington.
Oh, what do they know?
Screw Seattle.
Yeah, no, screw them. Yeah.
Bobcat.
All right, so for the last one is kick it off the planet. We're going to kick something off the planet. With the Home Run Derby coming up, would you rather kick off the planet the Home Run Derby or the 3-point contest? Because the dunk contest sucks.
Yeah, the dunk contest I'd get rid of today.
Right.
I'm booting the 3-point contest. I think the Home Run Derby is the best ancillary event of any All-Star game. Like, it's the one that we actually carry on. Well, I guess we carry the 3-point shooting on the radio, too.
I don't know if we do NBA Saturday night.
NBA Saturday night. But sign me up for the All-Star game Home Run Derby. Ireland?
It's got to be tough for you.
I love the 3-point shootout, actually.
I know.
It is great. It's fun. It's the most fun they got.
And the Home Run Derby, I'm going to watch it, but it does kind of get, it goes long and kind of gets old. I think I'd keep the 3-point shootout.
Wow.
I think I'd keep the 3-point
shootout. That's bold.
It is but bold. But I like all you always make these things hard. It's always well, two things point, right? that tough. That I'd want to keep them both. But if you made me keep one, I'd keep the 3 points. Bergman, are you keeping the home run derby?
Yeah, I'm keeping the home run derby because I mean the way they changed the rules that made it way better. It's not just throwing a bunch of pitches over and over again. You have a time limit. And then if you get to a certain amount, then you can actually get a couple extra shots
Are
at it.
Are you teaching us the game?
No, I'm just, right. God, what is wrong with you?
Boo! Now batting.
I'm
Greg
saying why
Bergman.
I like it. What, that's exactly what happened. No joke. That's how it went down.
All right, there you have your Bobcat for today. Bobcat. Coming up next, did you, what LeBron said about Boston, huh? Did
yeah,
you see
this is good. It's interesting.
We'll get into that coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, it is the Monday after our 7-10 All-Star Friday night. Glad you guys were out there. Happy to meet you guys. Thrilled with everybody that was there. Mason in Ireland, 7-10 ESPN.
Boston.